Hey, and welcome to the CMO Alliance podcast, where we break away from the usual marketing chatter and deep dive into the most vital topics within the marketing sphere. I'm Michal, a global marketing leader, your host and your guide through candid conversation with industry top leaders. Each episode will uncover actionable strategies, real-world case studies, and the personal stories behind their success. Today, I'm joined with Bonnie Habian, CMO at Excalibur, who brings a dynamic blend of digital and traditional marketing expertise to her role. Bonnie is a visionary marketing leader who not only supports the strategic direction of a fast-growing company, but also acts as a brand ambassador, both within and outside the organization. Before we dive into our interview, would you mind to share a bit about your background?
Sure. I've always been a lover of communications and learning, so I think marketing is a certainly natural fit for me. But I started out as a journalism communications major in college, and one of the things that I learned along the way is, after kind of delving a little bit into the broadcasting and corporate spokesperson scenario, is that if I could marry that with a finance background, I would open up so many opportunities. So I went back and got an MBA in banking and finance, and wow, that just opened up a tremendous runway for me for growth. So I ended up starting as a VP of marketing, not knowing much really about marketing. I was much more into like the communications, journalism, spokesperson stuff, and marketing just had so much more of a scope of work, and I quickly seemed to find my comfort level, and here I am 20 years later, wow, having been a CMO couple of places. So it's been great.
Amazing. So from journalism to communication and then also the finance background, that's pretty exciting and also a bit unusual, I would say. And then 20 years of career at marketing, you've probably gained so much experience. Do you have any specific challenge at the moment or something that you kind of like feel that currently is on top of your mind in regards to the marketing landscape?
Yeah, Michal, I think probably every CMO is facing the same challenge of really kind of having to deal with highly administrative tasks and trying to overcome that. I mean, 20 years ago, we were just worried about putting out advertising, trying to prove that it had some ROI. Now we are faced with a great problem, but a challenge of creating these composable tech stacks that have so many different levels of capability, but not one in all. So you have to figure out how to integrate them and have them speak to each other. And, you know, there's just so many reasons why we come to have this composable landscape, but the administrative challenges are often very difficult. And in a world of AI, when more things are changing and changing, really the realization of how can you integrate and leverage all of those systems is probably a very tall task for every single CMO and every marketer in 2024.
First of all, 100% agree. Sometimes, me included, like I feel as if I'm kind of like chasing the technology to a certain extent. It's kind of like there's this new product and there's this new platform and everything here is supposed to be amazing and make my life easier. But actually, my life just become more and more complex. So I really share the same kind of like point of view. Would you mind sharing a bit about like how do you then approach it, right? Because you have this challenge. Any kind of like specific way that you can share with us about how to handle this massive challenge?
I think what it is kind of really taking a step back and looking at where you are, where you want to be, and what are the things that are impacting you getting where you want to be. So for me, it's a lot of operational type of challenges, right? How are you going to get the data to speak from this system to that one? How are you going to continue? I mean, if we kind of stepping back, the things that we're looking at, right, as marketers are use of data, analytics, content machines, figuring out how to make things more personalized. All of that requires a more of a technical skill. So I think taking a step back and realizing what is it you're going to need in the composition of your team to give you that lift. And you're seeing new roles develop. Maybe it's, you know, automation coordinators, AI specialists. So I think you're going to see more and more of that kind of come into play so that you can push that heavy lifting or that admin lifting off to someone else who can really figure out how to integrate these systems quicker, have them talk to each other quicker, have them be able to give you that lift you need operationally to bring you back to that strategic point that you need to be.
Mm-hmm. You touched a very interesting point, actually, that I would love us to have a bit of a deep dive, if you don't mind. And that's the whole topic of like taking a step back and understanding what tools do you actually need, which I think is also a massive challenge, right? Do you have any kind of like favorite, not so to say tools, you don't need to mention any tools, but kind of like what do you say is the essential or let's say the minimalistic tech stack that a marketer should use these days?
Well, I think you're going to have to obviously have a CRM. I mean, that's number one, right? And these CRMs, for instance, you know, we use HubSpot. The CRMs really provide you all sorts of tools that you need, or they're starting to evolve. But the challenge is you may have that particular CRM providing you something and something else you're using providing you something. And then you start figuring out which one's better, which one is going to talk to each other easier. I think everyone, you know, has other sorts of integration, sort of things like Zapier that help you integrate knowledge and integrate data so you can automate. But obviously, you know, you must have a CRM tool. You must have a social media dissemination tool. And more importantly, you must be able to have systems that allow you to understand the customer journey, right? It's not just about acquiring customers anymore. It's figuring out, okay, how did we get them? How do we make them feel, you know, differentiate ourselves by being personalized? How do we provide them value? So I think at the very minimum, you got to have a really good, robust CRM.
Agree. And then maybe also like some kind of solution that will help out automating things. So for me, my favorite will be Zapier, because essentially you can build just also non-native automation. And I think that we can have a full discussion about non-native automation.
I can't stand when I get an email that says a zap error or you've been zapped or there's all kinds of zap messages. I'm like, thanks. No, that means something administrative we have to handle because there's a zap malfunction, right? So again,
100% agree. Yeah, we need
to buy more zaps, right?
Maybe that could also be a future role description, a Zapier handler.
You're right.
We also talked a bit about AI. I would love to get your input about, you know, like the whole way of the biggest opportunities that AI will offer in the way of like redefining marketing, and how can we as marketers also leverage it without compromising on our creativity and also integrity as marketers?
Listen, I've come to the realization that AI is a great tool, but it's not, at least for me, not going to replace 100% of your creativity or your writing or your ability to market, because there's that human aspect of understanding your audience, of maybe really kind of understanding what your goal is. And I haven't found a prompt yet that gets me 100% anywhere. It may get me 50%. It may help me brainstorm. And there's one or two tools that I love that I'm finding are better than a Google. So, you know, talk about from a search engine perspective, I personally think some of these AI tools are gonna allow us to research quicker and also pull stats and support. So that's how I use it. If I wanna go to something that is now built, I've built trust, that I can, you know, research and say, you know, tell me blah, 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 something historically or whatever. And then they bring me stats and then they bring me publications and then they bring me credible resources. That helps me as a marketer tremendously. So I have leveraged it from brainstorming, somewhat creating, researching a lot, helping me put together some items that may have taken me hours. So I have found some great things in that respect. What I'm finding is even in CRMs and these other tools, they will bring you in ways to maybe create content faster, maybe create something more in social. I just have not yet seen that operational lift of AI coming in and helping us do something quicker by allowing us to do something else that allows us to change a process or to predict a process or to help us with a process. I'm sure that's coming, but I still think, you know, right now we're still at that somewhat of an infancy. It's going quick, but there's just, you know, it's not perfect yet. So we have to start figuring out things that are going to help our job become a little quicker. As predictive analytics become in, right? We have to understand that a little bit more. And I do think these new roles that are evolving are probably going to be very key in helping us bridge the gap that we currently have between understanding what is possible, but also being bogged down by the administrative task in order for us to kind of implement some of these things.
Thank you for sharing. And again, agree. I think that this whole idea of AI replacing people, yeah, I don't really believe in that fear. I think actually that people will be replaced by other people that know how to leverage AI, but I feel as if it's still unfolding. right? Because AI, and I do want to stretch something, is not just taking a test, putting that in ChatGPT, and then copy-paste it and back again. This is not, in my opinion, the purpose of AI. Yeah, I loved when you, how you say, kind of like that you use it for research, right? I think that the research abilities, right? The brainstorming, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think as well, I just think that it's like a search engine for me. And you know, one or two of the great platforms I use, I really use it as a search engine. And I have been doing some research, and people do think that it may be eventually a threat to Google. Because if you're able to search quickly in an area that gives you more concise information because of the prompt you give, think about it. When you search online from Google, you know, you're not going to give it the prompt that you give on AI. So your results are going to be a little wider. If you're able to really dig down and prompt and create a really strong prompt and you get better at that, the information you're going to get is backup, resources, you know, stats that are supported and in a very targeted way.
I agree. So Bonnie, as mentioned before, you have 20 years of experience in marketing. Do you have any strategies that you would like to share with our audience about how can you remain kind of like creative and create a brand differentiation? We're really living in, as you said, like a kind of like data-dominated technical world, operational world. How do you maintain the creativity?
Well, I think there's so many things to say there. You know, I think basically what we're learning, even in B2B, storytelling is very important. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a challenge, especially in an industry like I'm in, which is financing. But you try and find places where you can deliver that. And most importantly, I think you really have to understand what your audience wants. So understanding what's of value to them and then delivering that time and again is very, very important. I think, gosh, most marketers, this is not a secret. It's 80% value, 20% sales, right? So now the content that we're putting out, if you can provide value to someone else, that nurtures and builds much better than, hey, buy this, hey, do this, hey, you know what, we offer this. And I think we just have to kind of embrace that, because I have found that people will respond more if they get something of value for them. They'll remember you for it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to remember or really respond to something that's just telling them to do something, to do an action without them really understanding who you are and what your culture is.
So would you say that the key for creativity is maybe really understanding your audience? So being very much user-centric in a way?
Understand your audience. You really need to focus on connecting with them. So understanding your audience, bringing value in a way that you're connecting with them is probably the best way you can actually develop a rapport with your audience. And personalization, right? So all of those things, when I'm saying connecting, that's a broad term, but connecting means delivering things of value, personalizing things, understanding how the cadence of how you're communicating with them, listening to your audience, and providing amazing customer service. It is not just about marketing. It has to go all through that journey now. Again, it's not just about acquiring, but it's about bringing in and building a brand. Listen, I am a Starbucks girl. Love Starbucks. Do you know why? Because I go in there and I feel an experience, right? And then when I read back why Howard Schultz created Starbucks and how everything went into that, it's all about connecting. So I will go in there and just feel warm sometimes. I don't even, you know, it may not even be the coffee. It's just this home place for me. You know, other people have other brands that do that. That does that for me. And that's an experience, and that's a connection, and that's a loyalty that I think has come over time.
Any tips maybe for, you know, like a bit less experienced marketeers? So connecting with your audience, as you said, is quite broad. How, like, what will be the first kind of like thresholds to start that journey?
Well, let me tell you this. This is something I've been doing. You know, I've done everything in a marketing role, from picking up trash on the floor to ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. I think you have to look at, you know, if you're working for a business, that it's almost like your business because you are the face of the business. So I will even, you know, take inquiries in. I am making sure I get back to those people right away. I am very pleasant. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, I'll get, oh my gosh, thank you so much for being so quick. I'm like, oh, no, no worries. You know, you make them feel special and valued from the very beginning. They have a trust factor at the very start of the journey with you. And to me, I think that's, I don't care if it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night on a weekend or you know, 5 o'clock on a Monday. I just think that experience right away, with the brand is truly important. So connecting at that level and then trying to keep that all the way through. Now, of course, as a marketer, I don't have, you know, complete autonomy over the journey. But what I will say is we move forward and that journey becomes more digital. I think businesses have to treat that very, very specifically as well, whether it's a chatbot that they're putting on, whether it is, you know, listen, we're going to automate certain portions of a process, and you make sure that that is a user-friendly, good experience, because you can so alienate people very quickly with something that frustrates them. So my answer to that is look at the entire journey. You need to really embrace them. Lifetime value of a client, as we know, is incredibly important. So where you can, as a marketer, impact and influence and really value that client, I think that's, you know, where you'll get your home runs.
Thank you very much for sharing. So who would you say is your partner in crime, like of marketing in general? Is it more, because usually it's sales, but I believe that now we're all sensing kind of like a notion and a shift, as you said, to customer success. So kind of like in the center is also the world of retention and looking at the buyer journey from the wider perspective.
You know, I would say probably my, you know, in a weird sense of way, as my CEO. He's not someone that is particularly, you know, hands-on. He is not, he doesn't micromanage at all, but he gives me the freedom and the ability to create. And he gives you kind of that, you know, ability to access what you need and to support, you know, what you need. Of course, it's extremely important that any CMO understands the vision, and you really have to read that for a while. It takes a while to kind of really understand that, especially when you start a, you know, at a company. But, you know, understanding what that current, that vision is, and then aligning to it, you know, making sure that every step of the way that you are supporting the vision of the company, is tremendously important. And I feel like having that good relationship, that open dialogue is really key. It really is. And I've been to many organizations and, you know, have had great relationships, for the most part with, you know, all of the people I've worked with. And that's been very helpful, but there's usually this, you know, it's tough. Sales and marketing can sometimes have a little bit of a, it's just the way that they're built, right? They have a little bit of a, not friction, but just kind of push and pull, because, you know, sales are hunters. Marketers are kind of, you know, in some respects, I think starting to be looked at more from a business sense, but for many years they weren't. So there can be a little challenge there at times. We wear a lot of hats, so many more than we did in the past. But for me, it's kind of having that leadership and that senior leadership respect and that senior leadership support that is key.
I agree. Thank you very much for sharing your perspective. Looking ahead, what changes do you think need to happen for marketing to evolve in a way that, you know, we're going forward, new tools are emerging, the landscape is changing. What are the kind of like tools or skills for future marketing in a way, for marketeers also that, you know, want to refine their skills, etc.?
Well, it used to be a lot more, I'd say you'd have to be right brain sided. I think you have to be a little bit both now. You have to be right and left brain side, because you have to have that creative side, but also an analytical side. Not like highly analytical. I mean, enough to say, hey, listen, you know what? I get it. I understand what people, I want to be strategic and start to move on data, right? So we are in a data driven world. We're in a digital driven world. So we have to be able to make decisions on that. And so I think that skill set is going to be extremely important. I also believe that you're going to have some project management, more operational, and someone that, you know, really understands the value of AI and how you can use that for your own company, for your own benefit.
We talked a lot about the whole world of like project management. Do you have any kind of like tips and tricks? How can someone can enhance, you know, their project management abilities?
I think you got to get the right tools in place. You know, companies are at different levels of maturity. I've been at all different levels of companies. You have to maybe start out with Excel, then you go up to something else like Monday.com or whatever, Basecamp, Reich. So I really think it's a combination of the skill set, but also the tool that you have, because there are some tools that are more robust for larger companies or at different stages, and being able to understand what tools are going to help you and automate with your tech stack, right? You don't want to go out and get something that it has no ability to integrate with something else. And I think that as well brings in the importance of having a chief technology officer or someone else that you can kind of, you know, make sure that you liaise with, because you're ultimately responsible for the marketing, right? And you want to make sure that you kind of own that tech stack. But at the same time, you got to leverage the information across the company in order to make your marketing better. So I think you have to really be able to look at it holistically. And, you know, that's going to be continued increased focus for the future.
I agree. So we're, you know, kind of like at the end of our interview, I would like to ask you maybe a bit of more personal question. Do you have any life motto, kind of like a North Star that's kind of like guiding you while building your career?
Oh gosh, so many things. You know, do what others won't. I think that's huge for
that's an amazing thing.
It's true. I'm a big believer in if you don't change, you don't grow. And I also think anything you do, if you just kind of be consistent and persistent with something, you know, the needle will move. But my biggest thing to say to anyone is do something you love. Work and do something you love, because if you do, let me tell you, there are doors that open and you just want to be able to go to work every day with a smile on your face. And I am happy that I'm able to do that. And I feel very blessed.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.